This morning, as we get ready to go into God's Word, it's a passage that I think I preached on back in 2022, but it's a completely different message. And it's one of those things that there's no way we can get around this. There's no way we cannot hear what God has to say in this passage, even though it's of the Old Testament, and it's something that God has given us, directed to us. But it's not just that. It's something that He does for us every single day, and it's just repeated in this passage here and then throughout the New Testament and really in our lives. And so today we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3, and so we will read just a few verses. I think the bulletin may say through verse 11, but you're going to get cut short today and go through verse 8. So if you'd read along with me. It says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, 'I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.' So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, he called to him from the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Moreover,' he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, 'I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites.'" Let's pray. Lord, as we open your word today, I pray that you'd open our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would move in this place today in a way that would make us uncomfortable. Lord, that you'd speak to us, that you would share with us, you would change us to what you want. Lord, that when we walk out of this place, we would have heard and expecting to hear from you all that you have for us. Lord, don't let us waste this day. Lord, we want to glorify you. We want to bring you honor. We want to praise you. Lord, we are nothing without you. Win this battle. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is one of those passages that are very famous. Moses and the burning bush, and a lot of times it's focused on that. But I want us to look basically at a few verses later on in that passage. But you kind of read that to give an idea and an understanding of what's taking place right prior to this. But what I want us to see today is how God moves. And I want you to stop and think about how God moves in your day. Look back at this past week and think, how have you seen God move in this last week? Sometimes we can say, well, I can see that God moved in this way, or during my quiet time I was reading the Bible and God spoke to me this way. And we can find things like that. But I want us to see how He's moved. Because God moves every day. It's whether you and I see it or not. People say, well, God doesn't do the same things He used to do. He doesn't move. He doesn't do the things that he did in the Bible. My Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The problem is you and I aren't the same. Sorry to say that, but that's the case. And what he does here in these passages, I think, is something that you and I need to understand and go into every day expecting to hear. Now, I know when Moses was following those sheep and he gets to the back of this desert, this is something that had never happened before. He had never come upon a bush that was on fire that was not burning up. He had never walked up to that bush and had God say, "Take your sandals off because the place you're standing is holy ground." That had never happened before. He had no way of expecting what was going to happen. We don't have that excuse. But we come into this church every Sunday. We go to our Bible studies. We go to our quiet times. And many times we don't expect to hear from God either. It's like, I'm just going to go and there's this bush that's on fire. But I'm not going to hear anything. It's not like God's going to speak to me out of some supernatural way. Not if you don't go near the bush. And trust me, this is not the bush. You've got to desire to go near to God to hear from Him. You've got to want to listen. And when He speaks, you've got to be willing to listen and obey. Moses was on the run. Many of us are on the run. And God comes to him from this bush and he says, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people." God loved his people. And he saw the oppression. He saw that they were in Egypt. He saw that they were in slavery. They were in bondage. They were mistreated. And he saw it. Wherever you're at, I don't know what you're going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But God does. God sees the oppression that you're going through. Pastor, I'm not going through oppression. I'm not having big problems in my life. No, but if you're having problems in your life and you're not turning them over to Him, I guarantee you, you're going through some type of oppression. You're in some type of bondage and maybe even slavery. Now, surely none of us are in that. But if you have unconfessed sin in your life, if I have unconfessed sin in my life, then I'm in slavery. And God knows it. There's a lot of times that God knows He saw their oppression. You know, I'd say if we could go back in time and we could ask the children of Israel as they're in Egypt and they're in slavery, if you ask them, "Are you in slavery?" they would probably say yes. If someone has a problem and they know they have a problem, then it's easier to help that person. But for us today, many times we don't admit that we have a problem. Oh, I've got to put my tie on. I've got to put my good shoes on. I've got to come in here and I've got to act like everything's okay every Sunday morning. And you do the same thing. And we don't admit that we have problems. But every one of us are broken. Every one of us are in need of God's touch. There are those times in our lives when we feel like nobody sees. They don't see my problems, but then they don't see my problems. Not just that they don't notice them, but they don't help. Because I hide them. They're not looking for them, so they don't see them, and I'm sure not going to tell anybody about them. But God knows your bondage. God knows your slavery. Well, I'm not really in slavery. The Bible says that if you've got that unconfessed sin in your life, you know it's there. I know it's there. And if I'm not willing to confess it to God, then it has more power over me than I do over it. and that's slavery. We have to acknowledge the sin in our life. Our country, our world does not acknowledge sin today. That's just the bottom line. We know that's the case. We pretend like we don't see it, but God sees it. God hates it. And He wants us to feel the same way about it. So God saw their oppression. Then it goes on and it says, I have heard their cry. Do you think that God hears your cries? I think there are a lot of people that truly believe God doesn't hear their cries. I complain all the time, and God never hears anything. That's not the same. I can complain and not like my situation, but that's not crying out to God. I complain to my boss, or I complain to the people I work with, or I complain to the people I'm around. But those people can't fix my problem. I cry out to the one who can. They cried out because of their oppression. They cried out because of their slavery. Many times you and I try to deal with our sin, those problems in our life. We try to deal with them instead of cry out to God. How long has it been since you cried out to God? Well, that would show weakness. Well, you're weak. I'm weak. But we have to cry out to God. It's different than complaining. Because everybody can complain. But God heard their cries. Because a cry is something different than a complaint. Not only does He see our problems and hear our cries, but it says He knew their sorrows. He said, I know their sorrows. Well, what's the difference in cries and sorrows? The sorrow is something that a lot of times we keep inside, but sorrow is different than sadness in this passage, because I can be upset over situations, but sorrow is a brokenness. And there's two different kinds of sorrow in the Bible. There's that sorrow over my problems, and there's a godly sorrow over sin. God has really been dealing with me over the past 2 or 3 weeks over the difference between sorrow and godly sorrow. Because this life is full of sorrow. The things we face, the problems we have to deal with, and they're most of them all man-made. But we deal with them, and it truly does break us, because we have... it's out of my control. But what He sees here is their sorrow. But what He desires is their godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is not thinking about, oh, I've got caught in this problem. I've got this sin in my life. I've got this issue in my life. And so I have this sorrow. No, He wants to see godly sorrow. It's not about the sin, it's about the cost of the sin. It's not about getting caught in your sin, it's about the cost of your sin. That's the difference in sorrow. Many times you and I have those sorrows that God knows about. When I'm caught in a sin, and so I'm broken, I'm saddened, I'm sorrowful for that sin. But the sorrow we need to have is that sorrow that is brokenness over the cost of that sin. The cost, which was Christ's blood. He looks at these people, God does, and he sees and he hears and he knows. Why? Because he loves them. They would see their sorrow. They would cry out. They knew they were oppressed. Where are we? Well, we're upset. We're sad. We're sorrowful. But most of the time, it's not for the cost of our sin that Jesus paid. We're not going to cry out. We're just going to complain. We know he sees us. But do we see where we're at as that oppression, as that bondage, that slavery? In these things that he did for those people in Egypt, this is just the beginning. The beginning is where he sees it, he hears it, and he knows it. But then he did something about it. I love this verse. He says, I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them. Moses in the back of the desert staring at a bush that's burning, and God is saying, I know your sorrows. I know your oppression. I've heard your cries, and that's why I came. Many of us never acknowledge the fact that God has came down to help us. Now, yes, I accepted Christ when I was 21. I acknowledge the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I know what he's done for me. I surrendered my life to him. He is my Lord and he is my Savior. The two do not separate. Many people want to separate those two and say, well, Jesus is my Savior, but is he the Lord of your life? Because if he's not the Lord, he's not your Savior. He came down for that reason. Those people were in slavery, in bondage, oppressed. And he says, I came down. Every day when you wake up, the Bible tells us that he says, my mercies are new every morning. So if his mercies are new every morning, and the Bible tells me that the Spirit comes to live inside me, then every morning he is there with me. Every day his presence is here. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he says the Father sent a comforter to come down, the Holy Spirit that would be with us. So he is with us every day. He has came down to deliver us. If he came down to deliver us, then that tells me one thing. We need delivered. Today, people don't think they need delivered. Surely not us as a church. Let's say everybody in here has accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Well, then we don't need delivered, right? You're doing a lot better than I am if you don't need deliverance every day. Now, I have deliverance as far as salvation goes. That's not going to change. I don't need to be re-saved every day. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you and I are in a battle every day against Satan. We discussed that a few weeks back. What we have to understand is the only way to be delivered through those battles is by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. But if you don't think you need delivered, you will never cry out for deliverance. if I never think I'm sick, I may be throwing up, I may be curled in a ball on the floor in pain and think, it's just something, it'll be all right. I will never go to the doctor because I don't need anything. I don't need a doctor's help. I don't need his medication. I don't need anybody else. I'll get through this. This too shall pass. But when I realize that I'm sick, that I'm in pain, and I have to have a doctor's help, I need some type of medical treatment, then I will go to the doctor. If you don't realize you need deliverance every day, you will never go to God. You will never cry out to Him if you think you've got it made. If you think, oh, these situations that we're in right now, they'll pass. One of these days that eastern sky is going to split and Jesus is going to come back for me and all this stuff down here, it's going to pass. Yes, it is. But we need deliverance through this stuff. Through this garbage we deal with every day, we need deliverance. But we never cry out because we look at the end outcome. But what about those people that need you to fight that battle today? Those people that need you to talk to them, to share with them. They need to see somebody to be their role model, to reflect Jesus Christ to them. If you don't cry out for deliverance today, then they're never going to see that you were broken. They're never going to see that you were in need. So then when it comes to the point that they might get in need, well, that's just not what you do as a Christian. Christians should never have to cry out because they're saved and everything's perfect. No, it's not. What we need to understand is that the life we live in, God gives us the power to live it through the Holy Spirit. He calls us to live boldly. But we cannot do it on our own. He wants to deliver us. He sees it, do we? Are you going to cry out? It's okay. It's okay to acknowledge that we're broken. He knew they were broken. That's why He came down to deliver them. You know, very few of the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they went through all the plagues, and God finally brought them out, there weren't very many that said, no, I'm just going to stay. Because they knew they were in slavery and they knew they had deliverance out of slavery. Not just the children of Israel, there were people just hanging out with the children of Israel. There were other slaves that left too. They didn't even know who God was, but hey, I'm going. He came to deliver them. He spoke to Moses. Moses was going to share the message with them that God came down to deliver and to bring them up. He says, I came down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up. If God came to deliver you, He doesn't plan on you staying where you are. Many times we think we're okay I'll just cry out to God and He will miraculously just pull me out of that situation. He came down to deliver them and to bring them up, bring them out of the bondage they were in. They could not stay in Egypt and do what God called them to do. They were supposed to travel and go to the mountain and worship God. They could not do that staying in Egypt. Even if Pharaoh had said, you are no longer a slave and you can just stay here in Egypt. They would not have been able to worship God. They had to leave the place of bondage. It had become so comfortable that later when they began to complain in the wilderness, they wished they could go back. How comfortable was their slavery? How used to their life? At one point they say, man, I can remember when we sat back around pots full of meat. Man, we had it so good. They were in slavery and they thought they had it good. There are people today that are in slavery to sin and they think they've got it good. They are comfortable with it. He came to deliver them and bring them out. You cannot, I cannot stay in that place and truly be delivered. So why do we? Why do we keep desiring to go back? The things that he did that we just mentioned, he does for us every day. But he did it once for your salvation. He knew where you were. He saw your bondage. Now, if you've already accepted Christ, I want you to think back on that day. And maybe you can't remember the exact day. Maybe you don't remember where you were. That's fine. As long as you know that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, as long as you know that you've asked Him for forgiveness of your sins, you accepted what He done for you on the cross. There was a time when He saw you before that day, and He knew you needed delivered before you did. He heard your cry. Because at some point, if you've accepted Christ, you acknowledged that you were hopeless. You were lost in your sin. And you cried out. You didn't complain. You acknowledged. And that sorrow, that understanding of what took place on that day when Jesus Christ was nailed to that cross was so that you could live. That blood was shed so that you could live. When I understood what that meant, my heart was broken. Not over being caught in sin, but over the cost of my sin because Jesus paid it. If you can remember that time that that happened, when you come to an understanding and you ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, you realize that when He came down from heaven, He left all of glory and He came down to deliver you, to bring you out. How far has He brought you? There are probably those today that they've not even come close to doing those things. They still don't acknowledge that slavery that sin has. They don't cry out because they're dealing with it. I'll be okay. I hate it when I get in trouble. I hate it when I get caught. I hate it when my sin finds me out, but the bottom line is I'll get by. Jesus still died for you. He still left heaven to die on that cross for you so that you don't have to stay where you are. Those things that He did for the children of Israel, He has done for us. And many times, it's left on the table. Do you ever think, like at Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or some big reunion time when mom or grandma or the family gets together and they make this huge, big meal. And you walk in and there's not even room for plates on the table because there is so much food. You've been to those tables, right? You've seen that. You've understood what it's like. And you know what grandma went through to get that table like that. And if you walked out and left it, that's nothing compared to walking out on Jesus Christ and leaving it all on the table. So today, I want you for just a second, and I don't do this very often, but I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to stop and think about what in your life is not right. It may be unconfessed sin. It may just be a reoccurring attitude. It may be any number of things. It may just be that you're not where you should be on your devotion time, your Bible reading, whatever it is. You know, I don't. It doesn't matter to me. He sees it. He knows it. Are you going to cry out? Or are you okay with it? Oh, I'll get better once things slow down. I hope you don't think that. But then I want you to know that He came down to deliver you from that and to bring you out of that. You can open your eyes. These people were in Egypt. I'm going to close with this. These people were in Egypt. It was a terrible place, but they had become so comfortable there. And God said, I have a place that I'm going to take them to. He calls it a land that, to a good and a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then it lists the people that already lived there. It was a place that was prepared for them, and God was going to give it to them. He was going to bring them up to that place and give it to them. God has a place for you too. Eternally, yes, He has a place for you, but He also has blessings for you every day. They're good. They're great. And they're yours if you just accept them from Him. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God has set things for you. In your deliverance, He has for you. Don't stay where you are. If you're not saved, then accept the grace of God. If you are saved and you're just not growing, don't stay where you are. If you're a Christian and you're trying to walk and you're striving to be everything God has called you to be and you're still stumbling and you're still broken, acknowledge that and still cry out. Because none of us are where we should be. We are all broken and in need of a Savior. He has come down to deliver us, and we're too stubborn to cry out. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You. We thank You for Your Word, Your deliverance that we read about, but God, also the deliverance that You offer to us. Lord, I pray that You speak to us. In everything, Father, open our eyes, open our heart to to be bare before you. God, I know you're coming. And I want you to come quickly. So God, I pray for those that are not ready. Strengthen us and draw us closer to you, that we might be everything you desire us to be. Help us to love you more. Deliver us, Jesus. In your precious name I pray. Amen.